I just feel like I've been around the block, ripping up fantasy stock, working around the clock. Look at the view from the top. Researching rookies a lot? No, I just be listening to pods. Yeah, one in particular, I'm just a messenger. Let me just pass on the rock. Browning, Brunning, Bruning, pronouncing ain't what he's doing. What he's doing is not losing, but infusing you with new things. And there's Dennis the Bennett. Yeah, the man is a menace. Yeah, building a dynasty, some of the finest things. Promise you, you won't regret it. Sly as a fox, cultured in pop, give him his props. Here is a thought, here is a box, and you cannot compare him at all, so don't even try. Careful with the news, but when you use a take, I take up Tony Fire, I mean Dyer, because anyone else is a huge mistake. Whoa, fantasy round table, fantasy round table. Yeah, fantasy round table, come take a look at the crown, baby. Hey, fantasy round table, fantasy round table. Woo, fantasy round table, come take a look at the crown, baby. Go.
All right, and we are live on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. This is Thursday. We are going to continue talking about our running back ranks. We're going to try and get through all of them, 20 through one today. Dennis and Matt are here with me. How you guys doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm a little wounded, but I'm hanging in there.
I'm doing pretty good, too. It's a little hot here. It's supposed to be like 10 days over 90 degrees.
Yeah, that sucks. I heard, is it going to be hot? Was it? So not next week, 2 weeks? Thoughts? Yeah, maybe. Have they said anything?
It's possible.
It's supposed to be like 100 plus here every day next week. So I was really hoping to move to go up to some nicer weather when I went up to Colorado. Well, before we jump into our running back, since
but
all
enough about you guys, let's talk about my pending vacation.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's a big deal for me. I'm really excited for it. No, actually, I want to talk, get your guys' advice since everybody's doing Scott Fishbowl right now and RBs. I need an RB, and I'm not really sure which way I should lean right now. I'm kind of – so I'll give you guys a little look here at my – I'm trying to figure out what round we're in. Round nine. We finally made it to round nine here in the DC Figures division. I am sitting with – if I can find my roster here. So I've got Baker, Stafford, Chubb, Ingram, Galladay, Jarvis, Cortland Sutton, and George Kittle right now.
What conference is the DC Figures division? Is that like eight? It's not eight, like 10, 11?
It says eight. Conference one, I think.
Okay.
So we're number one. We're the best, better than all the rest. Not really. It's been a really weird draft. I was actually hoping to grab Locke, but he went just – he went two picks ago. I was hoping he'd fall to me. So I can go running back or quarterback here. I'm kind of torn on those two. Quarterbacks kind of suck at this point. Locke was kind of like my last ditch effort of guys that I thought I could get. He got Darnold, Haskins, Cameron Newton, I believe, is still here. Yes, he is. I think so. Let me type that back in. You know, nope, Newton already went. Never mind. So that, or I can go running back. Best running backs are Keyshawn Vaughn. Oh, man. Ronald Jones, Sony Michel, Matt Philip Lindsay, Matt Breida. What do you guys think?
I feel like running back is the way to go. Let's see, at 9:08, you're going to be coming back at 10:05. Who are the quarterbacks on the board right now?
Not good ones. That's what I'm kind of worried about. There's a couple people who only have one. We've got like three guys who have got like three or four quarterbacks. So you got. The only actual starters left right now, Darnold, Haskins, and Fitzpatrick. That's it. Unless I go – I'd have to take my shot on Mitch or Foles, whichever one I think
is – What is your quarterbacks? You have Baker and who else?
Baker and Stafford. So yeah, I feel like it's worth taking a shot as long as, say, Haskins doesn't have the same bye week as Stafford or Baker.
He should be week eight.
Yeah, I think Baker's week eight or Stafford is. Nope, never mind. Good.
Yeah, I feel like there's no more. You're likely not going to get another quarterback. Now, I do know some teams out there are not really very quarterback focused because of the scoring here. They're saying, look, I'm going to get me one great quarterback, and then the rest of it, I'm just going to start. I'll start a position player in the flex.
Well, see, that was the strategy I was going for, but then Baker kind of fell into the seventh, eighth round. Mm-hmm. I think I grabbed him in the eighth, and I was
you got him at 6:05 is where you took 6:05
him. Was it? Okay, I was like, man, I thought
he
about
fell
it.
Like, to the seventh or eighth round in Matt's heart.
Yeah, man, look, we've gone through like 3 rounds in one day. It's been ridiculous. Like up until today, there's been like no. I think I've made like 3 picks over a matter of days. Like it's been really slow, but I wanted Locke. I was hoping to get Locke or Bridgewater, and both of them I know just went in this round because I had them both queued up. Let's see here. So Bridgewater went at 8:10, and then Minshew went 8:12, Rivers 9:01, and then Locke went at 9:05, and he was what I was kind of hoping would fall. I was really hoping to have that double up of Stafford and Galladay and Locke and Sutton. I really would have liked that as my team, but I got Baker and Jarvis, so I'm okay with that.
Baker, Jarvis, and Chubb. You got a real stack.
Yeah, well, you know, me and my affinity for that team behind me, unfortunately. I just can't quit them. So,
I have Locke, Sutton, and Lindsey.
See, I'm thinking of – oh, man, I don't know. Like, I want to go running back. I just don't know who to take. Like, I love Keyshawn, but, man, that mix with Ronald Jones, I kind of want to steer clear. I almost want to go Tevin Coleman, but I feel like I'm reaching on him if I take Tevin Coleman here. I don't know.
Well, so, and I don't think that the Mostert news changes anything in regards to the San Francisco right. running game.
So the only reason I'm actually leaning more toward Coleman, I think I posted it in our group chat when that news came out about Mostert, and I guess we can talk about that as we transition into running backs here. Was they actually had I was listening to the Fantasy Radio channel in the morning the other day because I got caught up with some stuff. I put it on. I was listening to him. And they actually had the San Francisco beat writer on. And he said that he thinks Tevin Coleman was going to be the guy before the Mostert news came out. This was like 2 days ago. He said that he just believes if Coleman's healthy, they believe in him more. Kyle Shanahan trusts in him. That's why they wanted to bring him over from Atlanta when he left, that he thinks he's still going to get a majority of the workload, that Mostert obviously has been phenomenal for them. I think he was talking about how he's averaged like 5-something yards a carry, which is one of the best in the NFL since he's been a starter, and that's going to get on my nerves with that going off on my computer. But he still thinks that Mostert or that Coleman's going to be the guy. So I mean, it's ridiculous. I'm just going to go – I don't know. I'll think about it. Let's talk about running backs. I guess I should have done the shared screen thing already since we're going to do that. You guys have any thoughts on the Mostert news while I'm getting this set up?
Like I said, I don't think it affects anything. He's not asking – in my opinion, he's not asking for a new contract. He's not asking, you know, for an extension by new contract is what I mean. He said trade me, but – he's got 2 years left on his deal.
No, he said trade me because they couldn't work out a new deal that he liked.
Correct. Yeah. And so that's what is that? Trade negotiation ploy 101. So he's going to end up, they'll work something out. I think they look at him and go, you know, we don't pay our running backs that much. He is one of the best two running backs on the team. He may be better than Coleman. I think it's hard to tell because Coleman has struggled with injuries so much, but Mostert's had injuries, and we've seen that Shanahan can plug in just about anybody into that offense and make him into a good running back. So to me, it doesn't change anything. They're not going to cut him. They're not, unless somebody gives him some crazy offer, which it's a weird time in the NFL, just like it is in the real world. And nobody's really going to be going out there and trying to make a deal for a 28-year-old running back that's played for, what, 5 teams in 7 years or 7 teams in 5 years, something like that. You know, yeah. He's a decent back in that system. I think he probably should get a bump up because he showed that he can handle the job. He's more dynamic than Coleman, in my opinion.
I think where San Francisco is probably a little annoyed is apparently I did not realize he signed a new 3-year contract just prior to last year. So it's like you played 1 year. And
well,
like,
he signed nah, he signed this. A special teams contract, basically a special teams backup contract, and now he's essentially the starter. I mean, Shanahan said
$2.87 million this year.
Shanahan said this offseason that he earned the right to be the starter. He said that earlier in the offseason. So Well, yeah, he's getting 2.5 or whatever, and Coleman's getting 4. I think if they do anything, you know, they cut Coleman and get out from under his contract because Shanahan feels like he can make just about anybody work in that offense. That would come down to if Jerick McKinnon looks healthy. If they feel like McKinnon is really healthy, then maybe they do something like that. But I would, my expectation going forward is it's exactly the same as it was 3 days ago.
Yeah. I think McKinnon's actually the one it looks like there would be no dead cap they could let go.
I mean, he's been on the team for a couple of years now, even though he hasn't played.
Yeah, so he's the one that they could kind of, you know, they could release, and that would free up right now. His cap hit's $2.9 million. Mostert's cap hit right now is $3.1 million, and then Coleman's about $4.8 million in a cap hit. I mean, I get that he, you know, is looking for more money. I just don't – somebody brought up that this isn't exactly the best time of year to be trying to do that, which is makes sense too. There's no place where he could potentially go where they're looking for, you know, where he would be guaranteed volume. So I was
right.
kind of bummed out about that just because I looked and realized that I have him on 9 teams. He was one of my favorite – kind of wait on running back, and then hey, got myself a 10th round starter there.
Well, and Ian Hartitz tweeted earlier today. He's like, you know, wait a minute, let me get this straight. You're gonna try to threaten the family that invented running backs don't matter?
Yeah.
I don't know. I really don't know. All right, but we're going to talk running backs. I just got to ask one more. Sam Darnold, Dwayne Haskins. Who do you guys trust more?
Darnold.
I think as your third quarterback, you're going for upside, and the upside is going to be with Haskins this year. I probably like Darnold a little better as a talent, but I just feel like Haskins is – he's going to be more of the, I don't know. I don't think it's probably not clear cut either way. And maybe I'm weighing in on Haskins because of my OSU homerism.
Oh, I understand you on that. I don't know. All right. So let's talk about our running backs. I'll let you guys keep it off here. I've got them up on the screen. Not answering that right now. So let's see here. So, Dennis, we left off at – we talked about 21. We kind of teased last week our 20. Me, Raheem Mostert, and both of you guys at James Conner. Go ahead and give me your guys' thoughts on James Conner. Unfortunately, I don't know why, but the blacking out did not work as well this time as it did last week. You can kind of already see who the players are, but whatever.
You just checked a different color of black is all.
So, give me your thoughts on James Conner as I try and fix my – computer here.
You want to go, Matt?
You know, I still like James Conner, and when he's been healthy and Ben's been healthy in that offense, you know, we've seen some great production last year. I think their offense as a whole was rough, and I think the fact that they really had no sustainable pass offense took a toll on the running backs, you know, even when they were in there, and then Conner, you know, struggled with a few injuries that were unfortunate. But I'm hoping, I know you guys can plug your ears, but I think Pittsburgh's offense as a whole will bounce back a little bit this year and have a better year. And Conner, I believe he's playing for a contract, so that kind of always helps. They have been talking about all the competition he has behind him. Sometimes that motivates people. And then I saw a picture of him lifting weights, and he had his muscles have muscles.
Yeah, I moved him up 2 rounds after that.
Yeah, I mean, that, you look at that and you're like, yeah, I think he's preparing to carry the load.
No, I agree with you. I think that offense is going to bounce back, provided Ben's elbow holds up. If his elbow is fine and he can generate some passing game, that's going to take a lot of pressure off that running game and open that up some. If the season goes perfectly for the Steelers, then Connor's going to get 225, 230 carries probably.
Probably.
He'll be a early down guy and catch a couple passes. You know, they've got Samuels, whom they like in the passing game. They drafted McFarlane, and they've got Benny Snell, who's sort of the direct first and second down backup. So they have a good core. It's all going to come down to, can Connor stay healthy? If he stays healthy, he's going to probably have a good season. You know, it's I think it was one of the Ball Blast girls tweeted earlier earlier today that if Le'Veon Bell doesn't hold out, James Connor is still a backup. You know, that may be where his talent is replacement level. You know, he looked pretty good, but he doesn't do anything exceptional. And then you tack onto that his injury history. So for him, what he's got going for him is potential volume. I think that puts him in the RB20 range.
Yeah, so I went with Mostert. Obviously, I spelled his name wrong as I just realized that with Mostert. But obviously, this was before the news. I thought that him and Tevin Coleman were going to split time. Still do. We're just obviously talking about some of the stuff I heard on SiriusXM earlier, where a lot of the San Francisco beat writers think that Coleman's actually going to be the guy. So Coleman might end up jumping him eventually. But I still think, as Dennis said earlier, and I agree with Mostert, is probably the more elusive, more talented back. Oh, what I just did there. My goodness. All right, so let's see here. I'm just messing all this stuff up today. So next for us, we've got – I'm done. There we go. We're just going all the way up. I can't get this stuff to work today. It's been a beautiful couple days for me. All right, so –
you know what Bob Vila says, don't you, Matt?
No.
Good craftsman never blames his tools.
I'm not blaming tools. I'm blaming me. I can't get this shit to work. That's what I'm saying. It's definitely me. So we're just going to talk about our 12 through 18 here now because we've already got them up. So for me, I've got David Montgomery at 19. Matt, you've got Mostert. Dennis, you've got Melvin Gordon. You are the highest out of all of us on Melvin Gordon. So what is it or why is it that you believe so much in him compared to me and Matt?
I think you're using that phrase, believe in Melvin Gordon, a little strongly. I do think they brought him in with the intent to give him some volume. It'll be interesting to see how well they split the usage between Gordon and Lindsay. We've seen Lindsay be consistent and produce at every turn when he's given the opportunity. So it doesn't make a ton of sense for them to take opportunity away from him, but it appears as though they are.
Let me ask you, does it change your feeling at all? I read a report this week about how Melvin Gordon has conspicuously not participated in anything with new teammates. And when he got called out about that on Twitter, he responded, "Bro, I haven't even signed my deal and been paid yet." So like Lindsay, Sutton, the two rookie receivers, Judy and Hamler, Fant, they've all been working with Locke all offseason. Broncos Instagram, Twitter posted videos of Philip Lindsay running routes with Drew Locke and called it our starting offense at work.
Well, I think Melvin recognizes that he's going into a situation where he might not be as popular as he would like. I think in 10 years, Melvin Gordon is going to look back on the period starting with his holdout and realize that he screwed himself pretty good. That if he'd have just come to camp, he'd have gotten a deal that maybe not, you know, outlandish like he wanted, but he'd have gotten a good deal. Does that impact me? You know, it does from the standpoint of, you know, it's not a deal until you sign on the dotted line, but what's he going to do? Is he going to, you know, call up Shanahan and go, "Hey, I think your system would fit me great and I'm better than the guys you got there." And Shanahan's going to go, "Okay, I'll give you $2 million." You know? Yeah. So, you know, I like Gordon. I do think that whether he's there or not, they signed him with the expectation they were going to give him some of the volume. I think there's some school of thought that feels like it's not in Lindsey's best interest to run him 275 times.
It'll
sap his explosiveness, and that's really where he excels. So if Lindsey carries the ball 175 times and Gordon carries it 200 times, you know, or 150 and, you know, 180 something, they split the carries. Matt, you talk a lot about how Lindsey was slated to be the passing down back until he just went in and took the lead back role away from Royce Freeman. How quickly I forget. So,
at that point, it was Devontae Booker. Booker right. and Freeman were supposedly jockeying. When I was looking, I looked obviously at a lot of different Pat Shurmur offenses and how they mixed and stuff. And one of the, you know, the year that he was with the Vikings when they went to the NFC Championship game, that was actually the year they had the split between McKinnon and Latavius Murray. And I was looking at some of their numbers. I could reasonably see something like that ending up happening.
What were the numbers there?
I have to go pull it up. But McKinnon, McKinnon, I think, had like 500 yards rushing, but was a much bigger factor passing. And I think Latavius Murray ended up with 700 or 800 yards, but had had the rushing.
Yeah, that was what. So that was the year that Peterson went down, right? And that was when McKinnon got all the love and hype before they signed him in San Francisco. Is that the season talking about?
Yeah, I think it was that. Let me look. I just pulled it up. Because I looked at a bunch of different years to see, because that was the year that Bridgewater got injured early and they traded for Bradford, but Keenum ended up being there running. And they had Dalvin Cook. Cook is the one that missed a bunch of time. So Latavius Murray ran for 842 and 8 touchdowns. McKinnon ended up with 150, and so Murray had 216 carries. If you added that to kind of the four games that they had Dalvin Cook, where he was 74 carries, 354 and 2, you're saying roughly, 1,100 yards, 10 touchdowns. McKinnon got 150 carries for 570 and 3 touchdowns, but he caught 51 passes for 421 yards and a couple more touchdowns. That to me feels like that could be a reasonable kind of thing. I know everybody was trendy to say they thought Melvin Gordon was coming in because he's a superior receiver. I don't necessarily think he's a superior receiver. And what I've seen a lot of footage and pictures of is Lindsey working with Locke coming out of the backfield, which is why I started wondering if that 2017 model, you know, they had Diggs and Thielen, that Kyle Rudolph was super involved. I know people have said, well, they don't think Noah Fant's going to be involved. We're talking about a Pat Shurmur who force-fed Evan Ingram 68 targets in 8 games last year. I think he likes to use the tight end. He can use a couple receivers. That's, to me, I looked at that year. I looked when he was in Philly in 2014. You saw something similar with their spread of running backs and weapons. And I think that's what, to me, makes it feel like Lindsey's going to have more of a role and more of an opportunity than people are thinking right now.
Yeah, I think Lindsey truthers would be happy with 150 carries and 60 catches. You know, year three hashtag 2-3 year window. You know, I think that fits right in there for a 5'8", 195 pound back.
Yeah, and he can do a lot with it. That's what, you know, so I think that's perfectly fine.
All right, Matt, so I just talked about having Mostert where I did at 20. You've got him just one spot higher at 19. I imagine looking at these rankings, Dennis had him lower than us. So do you have anything you want to add?
A little bit lower. No, I mean, basically, when it comes down to it, my rankings of 15 to 20 are kind of like the wish dream. You know, I hope these guys can bounce back to form or can pick up where they left off. Raheem Mostert obviously had a great end to the regular season. We saw him dominate in the playoffs. there's one of two ways he can go. That could carry into the regular season. He can be who we think he is, or it could be the Damian Williams halo, you know, where we saw him a couple of years in a row finish a regular season strong, be awesome in the playoffs, and then you think he might be your RB2, only to get kind of boned over. I'm wishful and hopeful. You know, I liked what Bob talked about with the consistency guide. He liked the consistency of when Mostert's been given opportunities. The news yesterday gave me a moment of pause, but I'm kind of like Dennis. I don't really think there's a lot of options. I think they're going to get it worked out. You're a team that's really in that Super Bowl window that wants to get back. So I feel pretty good, you know, right there. Those guys kind of in that range, I could see them moving up or down a few spots in that range, but that's how they got in that range. I'm hopeful based on volume and opportunity.
All right, so 18 for me, I have James Conner. I agree with everything you guys said. I think for me, the only reason, and again, it's not much higher, it's just two spots. I don't believe in anybody else in that Pittsburgh backfield, so as long as Conner stays healthy, I think he's going to produce. I can actually see Conner being closer to like 15 to 12 than where I currently have him at 18, just because I don't trust anybody. Like, I know everybody likes Benny Snell, but Jalen Samuels didn't show much of anything last year. I don't think there's anybody that's really going to challenge him that much in that backfield if he stays healthy. I completely skipped over David Montgomery. I like Montgomery. My biggest fear with him is I know – why do I always forget the head coach of Chicago? Because he's just Matt Nagy. I'm just not sold that he's actually going to commit to the run like he kept saying he was going to last year. I think Montgomery is by far the better runner. Dennis, me and him, we were both very high on him coming out of college. He's a very good pass catcher. Not quite as explosive as Cohen is, but he can definitely do stuff in the passing game. I don't trust a Nagy to produce and have him be that bell cow running back. So that's kind of what drops him down here to 19 for me. I'd love for him to do it because I think he can, but that's why he is there for me. So that puts us at 18 for you guys. And Matt, you've got David Montgomery as well. Yep. So your thoughts on Montgomery?
Pretty similar to you. You know, we basically have the same three guys, 18, 19, 20, just a slightly flipped order. I think we feel somewhat similar. I'm hopeful that he can have a solid year two, but a lot of that, what does Chicago look like? Yeah, you know, what do they get in terms of offensive production? That's the big unknown. And what is Nagy going to commit to with play calling?
All right, Dennis, you've got what was it?
Le'Veon Bell.
So you are.
I'm at Le'Veon Bell at 18.
I am the lowest on him. Matt, you got him just a little bit higher. So we can both get both of your guys' opinions on Le'Veon Bell. Since Matt, I mean, he only had two spots higher, so kind of in the same range. What do you guys think on Le'Veon this year? Why do you have him?
You know, he's still really good at what he does. Unfortunately, I think that offense could be the lowest scoring offense in the NFL this year.
The Jaguars are saying, hold my beer.
Yeah. Well, the difference, though, is the Jaguars have a quarterback that's like, F it, I'm going for it. You know, he's like, I think Minshew looks around at quarterbacks and says, the only thing I have going for me is it. I've got my jorts and my mustache. I'm going to need to go out there and play my ass off to get whatever contract I can, because this is going to be a quick ride for me. And so Minshew's going for it. But with Bell, you know, he's under Adam Gase's thumb. I feel like there's going to be some friction this year between Darnold and Gase. And by proxy, there'll be friction between Bell and Gase. There already kind of is. You know, Gase has come out and said he would have never paid Bell that much money and stuff. So I think Gase is going to, you know, do what Adam Gase does and take perfectly good fantasy football players and make them mediocre at best.
So, I mean, first of all, I guess this is the part of the podcast where I admit I just realized I'm wearing jean shorts. So apparently I'm living that Gardner Minshew life.
You got it.
Yeah, I got it. Last year, Le'Veon Bell, for as shitty as the Jets' offense was and as horrific as those games were to watch at times, finished as RB16 in PPR scoring. That's where I have them again this year. I don't disagree that their offense is kind of a bummer. And as somebody who was a huge Le'Veon Bell fan who had over 20 shares of him that I rode out his year away hoping for better, it was a bummer to see him kind of land in the Jets. And after what was sort of promising opening day, it was a bummer to have him on the Jets. But I think we were so used to the incredible heights that he had gotten at times in Pittsburgh that you didn't really realize that for PPR and for the, you know, them having a crappy offense actually helped him a little bit, probably in PPR. Sometimes he only had 32 yards receiving, but he had like 32 receptions because that was all that, you know, that they could manage to accomplish.
My I'm hoping that getting to me. I thought I heard you say PBR and a craft beer offense.
Yeah, there you go. So, you know, I'm hoping that he can stay kind of at the same level. I think it's a case where neither the player nor the team really want this to continue into another year. There's even been talk if the Jets are out of it midseason, which I think wouldn't be a stretch to believe, that he could be a guy that they try to move, that a contender maybe that has an injury tries to move for at some point in the middle of the year. I think that has both motivated. A, the Jets don't have a lot behind him. I think we liked Lamical Perine as potentially a little bit for the future, but he's going to get caught in that rookie wash of, you know, trying to learn a team, having probably no preseason reps. I think they're going to be content to ride Bell the same way, you know, that we've talked about the Falcons riding Gurley. And I think Bell is motivated to try to show that he's still got it, to see if he can sell himself to another team, maybe a better situation.
All right, so at 17, I've got Leonard Fournette. I'm obviously the lowest on him out of everybody. My biggest fear kind of goes back to something you just said, Matt, and that they're probably going to be vying for one of the worst offenses in the NFL. I know that he caught a lot. I think it was 70 balls last year out of the backfield. I don't think that that happens. I think he probably drops down closer to 40, maybe 50. And the fact that he almost never gets into the end zone worries me as well, along with the injury history. I love Fournette. I hope that he can prove it again this year and play a full season like he did last year. I don't know if that'll lead to him getting a good contract, but I think he's a phenomenal running back. I just don't trust the offense and necessarily his injury history. So I kind of dropped him down to 17. Maybe I can move him up a couple spots, but I think for me, really 12 through 18 are separated by probably at the end of the year upward, like maybe 5 to 10 points between the 10 of those guys. Like, I don't see a big separation between a lot of these guys. So that's just kind of where Fournette came in for me. Matt, you've got Chris Carson at 17, and Dennis, you've got him at 16. You guys are a little bit higher than me. I had him down at 22, I believe it was 22 or 23. So are you? I'm assuming you guys believe that he's going to be good to go with the hip and that they're just going to run him again till the wheels come off, kind of like they always do in Seattle. What are your guys' thoughts on Chris Carson?
You know, Carson has looked good when healthy, and he seems to be back healthy again. He's rehabbed the hip. Everything is going as it should. And I mean, they invested what, a fourth round pick in DJ Dallas. They've got Travis Homer there, Carlos Hyde. Do any of the three of those scare you? You know, Rashad Penny's going to be out at least 6 or 8 weeks.
Can I just ask, did Carlos Hyde have the quietest 1,000-yard season in the history of time? Somebody was like, he ran for 1,000 yards last year. I was like, no chance.
Yeah.
And then you look it up, and he was like 1,000.
Well, and then you look, it's like he had like 75 catches 1 year in San Francisco.
I was going to say, I feel like he gets – it's almost like Robert Woods with the Rams, right? Like, I think he gets disrespected a lot when he's actually produced pretty much – like, a lot of people give him shit for what he did in Cleveland. He was actually good for the Browns. It's just Dorsey wanted them to play Chubb, so they traded him. Like, Carlos Hyde is not a bad running back. He is a serviceable running back when he gets the shot.
So, he's going to – but he's going to be a backup unless Carson is injured. Hyde knows it. He's come out and said he knows it. I think so. Carlos Hyde is using his Ohio State education. He says, you know, making $2 or $3 million a year playing football is a lot better than making nothing not playing football. So I'll back up this dude for $1 million or $1.5 million. And when they need me, I'm going to be ready. And then next offseason, I'm going to try to find someplace where I can compete. Who knows? Carson could get banged up again. He could get a season ender, career ender, and then Hyde is the guy next year.
It feels like he gets banged up and misses a few games every season. So you kind of, I think, got to bake that in a little bit. Last year in PPR, he was RB12, even though I believe he only played in 12 games or 13 games. So I feel like 17, he seems like a solid RB2. They seem to like him a lot. Penny actually seems like the one who's less likely to be ready to come back from injury. It, 6 months ago, I would have said no way Chris Carson is going to be ready, but it seems like he's tracking to be ready. They're planning on him being there. Even if he gets off to a little bit of a slow start or he's split in time at the beginning, they like him. He seems to fit really well with what they're doing. And he's another guy that it seems like several times that, people have tried to write his obituary, brought in competition for him. I remember when they drafted Penny, Carson is going to have no value. He's going to get released. And here he is still trucking along. So
Carson started 15 games last year.
Oh, so he must have gotten.
He missed two games in 18, one game in 19. So he must have missed the
last. I thought he got hurt at the beginning of December, but it must have been just the beginning of that penultimate game.
Yeah. I think Penny got hurt first, didn't he? I thought it was Penny got hurt and then Carson, and then that's when it was Homer. Because I remember Marshawn Lynch got signed like right before it was like the game before they went to the playoffs.
Yeah.
It was that in San Francisco.
I mean, Carson had 278 carries last year with 37 receptions.
Yeah, man, he's just like Carlos Hyde. He's a very he produces for you every year whenever he's in there. He doesn't get the respect, I think. So, Dennis, you've got Clyde Edwards-Helaire there at 17. I thought that I actually thought out of the three of us, I would be the lowest on him. Turns out I'm the highest. I have him at 14. So your thoughts on Edwards-Helaire? I don't remember where you had Williams ranked, but I know you had him up here in your top 40. So your thoughts on Edwards-Helaire being here at 17?
Well, I had Williams at 37. I feel like they're going to split time, but Edwards-Helaire is going to be the better player. And that offense is a passing offense. They pass to set up the occasional run. So they'll Edwards-Helaire and Williams will both get some carries, but I think Edwards-Helaire ends up leading the team in touches. And if he produces like he's expected to produce, he's going to be a really, really good PPR back. It's one of I could see a 60 or 70 catch season and 500 or 600 yards rushing. It'll depend on what he does touchdown wise. He's big enough that if they get in close, he can run the ball in. He's 5'8", 205. So he's sturdy. He's not going to run away from a lot of people, but he's certainly quick.
Yeah, so I'll just touch on him since I have him here at 14. We don't have to come back to the discussion. It's that offense. I'm buying 100% into that offense. I said it before. I know there's kind of this narrative, which I somewhat buy into, that with the way this offseason's going, it's going to be harder for a lot of these rookies to adjust to the NFL and new game plans and everything. But I think the easiest transition is from running back in college to running back in the NFL. I just don't see that big of a change, that big of a difference. I think they are going to utilize him, like Dennis, you just said, in the passing game. And he is explosive in that. He's very good receiver out of the backfield. And I think with all the other weapons they have, Patrick Mahomes is going to make it work for him. I've got him up there. He could easily drop down into the 20s. I have no doubt about that. But I just think he's so explosive. He looks so good with that offense. And now he's moving into a better offense, better quarterback, just an all-around better team at the NFL level with the Chiefs. I think Edwards-Helaire is going to have himself a good year. Not the best rookie running back, as you guys can see, but I do think he's going to be up there. I told you guys I was all in on him. I've been all in on him. All right, so for me at 16, I've got Josh Jacobs. He had a really good rookie year last year, a lot better than I thought he was going to do. I still don't necessarily believe in this Raiders offense. He broke 1,000 yards last year, didn't he, on the ground?
Yeah.
I'm sure that he that again. You know, I'll be interested to see how much more he's integrated into the passing game this year with Oakland, or if that happens much more at all. But Josh Jacobs, I'm sure, is going to be in for another really good season. Not just I like the other guys ahead of him more. So that's what dropped him down to 16 for me. We already discussed Le'Veon Bell with Matt and Dennis with Chris Carson. So let's move up to all have Todd Gurley at 15. So I'll get your guys' thoughts on Gurley first.
Should take it, Matt.
Well, I think you know, it's a little bit of what we've talked about. He quietly had a pretty decent season last year. He was running back 14 last year in PPR for the Rams, even though it seemed like kind of a down year. He signed that one-year contract going back to Atlanta. They're a team that needs to make some noise this year. They really need to do something if their coach is going to survive, you know, another year. I think it's very possible they just run him till the wheels fall off.
Yeah, I think with Gurley, it's going to be they're going to manage touches. They're going to give him the ball when they get in close. But that's a passing offense, and when you've got Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley and Hayden Hurst, I think Russell Gage is their three. I don't know a ton about him, but they've got the ability to get defenders off the line of scrimmage, and that's going to open it up and make it a little bit easier for Gurley. Gurley still, you know, he only caught 31 passes last season. But he doesn't have any real competition in Atlanta. As much as I love Quadri Allison, Allison is just a two-down guy that's going to be a direct backup to Gurley's two-down work. I think Ito and Brian Hill will be direct backups to Gurley's passing down work. But it's going to be primarily Gurley when they run, unless, you know, if they are either way behind or way ahead, then Gurley's coming out of the game because they're going to try to manage his touches. But he's still probably in line for 225 touches and lots of goal line work.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. You know, my biggest thing for putting him up here was I just don't see much competition with him in that backfield. I agree they'll probably manage him some, but for the most part, it's going to be all Gurley in the receiving game and running game when they get in close. You know, if they decide not to throw it, those touchdowns are going to him. I don't see Matt Ryan trying to QB sneak it in. So Gurley, I think, is going to be in for a big year. He's trying to prove himself on his contract. And as Matt, you said there, I think Dan Quinn is obviously probably coaching for his job this year. So he wants to win. And Gurley showed at times last year he could still be a top back. So I think they're going to do everything they can to keep him on the field and run the wheels off of him. You guys both have –
Atlanta rushed the ball 362 times last season and threw it 684. If I'm not mistaken, that might be the heaviest pass-to-run ratio in the league, and I would expect them to probably stay around that as well. So they don't need a lot of production out of their backup running backs. So Gurley is going to be the guy getting the touches, but he's just they're going to manage it.
All right, so you guys both have Josh Jacobs here just a little bit higher than me. Was that two spots higher than I had him. So you guys' thoughts on Josh Jacobs in Oakland this year, Las Vegas this year?
Well, if we're being perfectly honest, given the amount of volume that Jacobs had in college, we knew they were going to have to ease him into NFL production by going easy on him and letting him work. It's like, you know, when you – in baseball, when they bring a pitcher up and they only throw him three or four innings at the beginning of the season till they get him stretched out to throw 7, 8, or 9 innings. That's kind of what I look at the Josh Jacobs situation as. You know, to bring him out of college where he didn't have a ton of carries and then pile him up with 300 carries as a rookie. Well, a very Gruden thing to do, just ask Cadillac Williams. It was smart of them, and I feel like he's going to get more carries this year, going to lead the team, and probably double his passing potential as well.
But I mean, he was on pace. He would have hit that 300 carries had he not missed three games. He had 242 carries, 1,150 yards, and 7 TDs in 13 games. And that was playing since week 8 in the season with a broken broken shoulder. So I think that probably was the only thing that held them back from being able to, just run him into the ground. And they don't really have a big runner behind them. I think we both kind of like the Lynn Bowden pick, but that feels more like a kind of third down passing back. They have Jalen Richard, who's definitely a third down kind of passing back. So he doesn't really have a lot of competition as long as he can stay upright. They actually have, I'm obviously not a huge Raiders fan, but they do have a pretty stout offensive line, which I think is what helps Carr with being able to have a nice completion percentage, and which is what will help Jacobs. So he had a really decent year, and he probably, if he plays all those games and doesn't have a broken shoulder, I think he's easily over 300 carries.
So I've got Edward Helaire there at 14, which I've already touched on. Austin Eckler for me at 13. I have him lower than you guys do. I think both of you have him up in your top 10. I just think this offense in general comes back a little bit. I don't believe in Tyrod. Maybe if Herbert gets in there as early as I think he could, they'll rely on Eckler a lot more, and I do think he could easily shoot up into that top 10, top 5 even, if they really rely on him to be the workhorse. But I think they're going to split time a little bit. Maybe we see Justin Jackson. I don't think they just drafted Joshua Kelly for no reason. So I do think Eckler loses out on some of the touches, still a great receiver. I think he's going to kill in PPR leagues for sure with that work he gets out of the backfield. But I think that offense as a whole takes a step back. Leonard Fournette, Matt, you have there at 13. I touched on him a little bit. Your thoughts on Fournette with the Jaguars?
Yeah, I mean, I think last year he established himself as a potential three-down back. What I forgot about is that they now have Jay Gruden as their offensive coordinator, and they went and signed Chris Thompson. So that's sort of, when you were talking about the passing work, I was like, oh, yeah, that's true. I guess, I'm not a huge believer in the Jags offense in general, but I still think Fournette's talented enough and they're going to give him the ball enough. He's another guy on an expiring contract, if I believe. So, I think he's going to be probably the focal point of their offense still.
Yeah, that was you only really have to worry about Chris Thompson stealing catches away from him for like the three games he's healthy. So, I mean, it's not going to be much, but, it still takes some from him. Dennis, you've got Aaron Jones here at 13, which is the lowest out of the three of us. What has got you, I guess, not necessarily worried, but why do you have him lower than he finishes RB2 last year.
I struggle with consistency of volume, and mostly it comes down to what their head coach wants to do, which their head coach wants to use multiple backs, which while he had 19 touchdowns last year, but I think 18 on the ground and one receiving, I think they are going to try to fit A.J. Dillon into a goal line role. Jones, his touches may be flat, or they may go down and they may try to get him in a little more involved passing. I just feel in general that he's just not going to be as productive as he was last year, either on the ground nor in getting into the end zone. And so as I looked at the guys in front of him, I kind of was, going back and forth and trying to figure out, who's going to get more yards, catches, or touchdowns, or who is he going to get more yards, catches, and touchdowns than? And it's just kind of he just kind of landed at 13 for me.
So you guys both have Nick Chubb here at 12, which I think is just criminally underrated, but he is technically a top 12 running back for both of you.
Who do I have at 11? Because on my list, I have Chubb at 11 and Fournette at 12.
I don't know. Did I do the list wrong? I don't know. I can't. I guess I can take it. You're ruining the surprise here. I worked very hard on this, as we discussed earlier, even though I keep messing it up.
Oh, that's you okay. Anyway, I'll talk about Chubb. Yeah, for some reason, it looks like they must have got switched around. Either my list or your list.
It's probably mine. I just saw Nick Chubb at 12 from Matt, and I was like, these motherfuckers just type Chubb in right there. Now, what is, regardless whether you had him at 12 or 11, what is it that you guys are worried about with him? Obviously, we know that it's likely going to be a run-heavy offense. Is it Kareem Hunt you guys are worried about? You just think the Browns' offense is still not going to be that good? What is it that's got you guys worried that you have him down here at the 11 and 12 range?
Well, you know, for me, I still like Nick Chubb. I have him as an RB1, and he could go a little higher. Last year, he finished as RB8, but he only had 8 games with 20 carries or more, and only 3 games with more than 20 carries. And one of, you know, 21 and 1, 23 and 1, 27 was his top. None of those games with 20 or more carries happened after week 13 of the NFL season. So that gives me a little bit of pause. He was an incredible runner when he was given a chance, and he really maximized his opportunities because he had a few games where he went over 100 at the end when he was under 20 carries because he was averaging like 7 yards a carry. And that's great. And if he can do that, he can vault himself back up. But it certainly seemed like when they got into it and they started giving more work to Hunt, you know, because Hunt was not there in the first 8 games, that took into his touches and opportunities. We also, I think, all think that they have the potential to have a more robust passing offense than they did at times last year. That could eat into some of his opportunity, too. So I like him a lot, but if you're basing the volume he's potentially going to get compared to some of the other players that have less competition for touches, and Chubb hasn't been a big receiver, so you don't have that same kind of PPR propping mechanism with him. So that's where, you know, I still like him. I still think he's an RB1, but he's just a low-end RB1 for me.
Yeah, I feel much the same way. His volume is, I think, slated to go down a touch. He had 298 carries last year. But like Matt said, once Kareem Hunt came back, no games over 20 carries. So it's going to be a situation where he's going to be really, really good again this year. And I expect him to continue to be a really good running back. I mean, he did have 50 targets last year. So there may end up being a little more of an even split in run-pass ratio for both him and Hunt. But Hunt has shown that he's a really good back as well. I don't think he's quite the runner that Chubb is. So while Chubb will continue to be the starter there and the lead back, with the offense that has the potential to explode like the Browns do, and the amount of weapons they have, Chubb being one of them, dropping down from 298 carries to 265 carries is probably well within reason for his 2020 season.
So for me, I've got Jonathan Taylor, and I had to stick to my guns on this one. I've been saying from the beginning he was going to be in my top 12, and I do think Mac is going to obviously hurt him a little bit, but I just think Taylor's – he's just better. He is the more talented running back. Indianapolis has the best offensive line in football, in my opinion, and that's all Taylor needs. I mean, you can just watch it with the Wisconsin tape. You throw it on, Wisconsin is known for having just incredible offensive lines. They do a great job of recruiting offensive linemen. Anytime they create a hole, Taylor is gone. He – showed a little bit last year that he can do some work in the receiving game. I don't think he's quite as good a receiver as probably Mack, and definitely not as good as Hines. But I think that Taylor is going to be a guy that they drafted him in the first round for a reason. I think that they're going to use him. I don't think if they believe that much in Mack, they would – or not first round. They took him in the second round. I'm sorry, right? There's the second round? And I know they didn't take him in the first round. Edwards-Helaire was the only one that went in the first. Did Indy take Taylor in the second round? Am I remembering that now correctly? Okay. I don't think if they believed in Mac, they would have taken Taylor as high as they did. So I think that he's going to get the ball and go. I have no doubt Mac's going to work in there at times. But Taylor is good enough that all it takes is for him to get a little bit of a hole and he could be gone for like a 60-yard touchdown. And I think they're going to lean on him once Phillip Rivers starts throwing like 6 interceptions a game. And so that's where I think the volume will come with Taylor as well. At 11, I have Kenyon Drake. Matt, you have Drake here as well. What are your thoughts on Drake?
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have a ton of probably competition to be the guy there. He finished as RB17 in PPR in 2019 with only half a season with Arizona, and that was when he was competing with David Johnson, who, you know, they sent out. He's, you know, they have a lot of receivers, so they have a pretty robust passing offense, but they franchise tagged him for a reason. So I think seeing him bump up into RB1 territory with the workload we anticipate he's going to get in a pretty high volume offense, isn't that unexpected?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think the only thing that worries me about Drake is obviously the injuries, but what he can do, not just running the ball, but receiving out of the backfield. Kyler, we saw last year, even with Drake and in that offense, they're not afraid to dump it off to the running back if nothing's there. I think having a guy like D-Hop as well on the outside, even with as bad as that offensive line is, likely is going to end up helping Drake a little bit because they can't just rush the box and try and stop Drake and Murray. Dennis, you've got Fournette there at 11. Me and Matt have both given our thoughts on Fournette. I know you've talked about it all offseason, how you are kind of high on him. So give us your thoughts on Fournette.
I think it just comes down to being really the only show in town. I mean, who's really, I guess, concerned about him losing touches to Divine Ozigbo, Raekwon Armstead, and James Robinson, I think, is the third guy. I know they brought in Chris Thompson. And I agree with you. For the couple games he's going to be healthy, he'll catch some passes. But to me, if Thompson isn't dramatically better than Fournette, what purpose does it serve to have Thompson on the field instead of Fournette? So I feel like Fournette's still going to get a pretty consistent volume. I don't know if he's going to get 100 targets next year or this year. That was a lot of targets, but it was kind of the only show in town all around last year. So until Chark broke out, and so getting him 75 targets, 60 targets, 60 to 75 targets is probably still well within reason for Fournette. And then, you know, it's 250 carries, 275 carries. That puts him, right back up there to be very productive again this year.
All right, so 10, I've got Aaron Jones. Matt, you've got Eckler. Dennis, you've got Miles Sanders. For me, Aaron Jones, obviously not just a couple spots higher than Dennis here. I think my thing for Aaron Jones is I just think the touchdowns come back a little bit. And I do think A.J. Dillon will be brought in and used as well in this offense, like you said, Dennis, which is why I dropped him down from 2. Again, I still don't think it's going to be a bad year for Aaron Jones. For me, I think I've got the top 3-4. The top 4 for me, I think, are going to be separated by a little bit, and then 5 through 10, very close, and then, as I said earlier, like 11 through 18, really close for me. But Aaron Jones, like, just the loss of touchdowns, as many touchdowns as he scored last year, the chances are it's not going to happen again this year. That's a lot of points in fantasy. If it was rushing yards or catches that we were talking about, I wouldn't have dropped him as far, but touchdowns, it's just I don't think he scores that many next this year, so that's why I've dropped him to 10. Matt, what are your thoughts on Austin Eckler?
Yeah, so, I mean, he was RB4 last year in PPR. He gets a lot of his work in the short kind of passing dump-off. I don't think that's all going to go away with Tyrod in there, or even if they play a rookie in Herbert. I have him coming back a little bit, back to 10, but I think he'll get enough volume in both rushing and passing to be there.
Dennis, you've got Miles Sanders here. You are the lowest on Sanders. So what is it, I guess, that has you not worried? Did he finish top 10 last year?
He finished 15 in PPR.
Yep.
So why do you have Sanders here at 10?
He's got to be somewhere. It's not like I'm going to put him at running back 18. You know, I feel like the guys that I have ahead of him are going to – score more points, that hashtag analysis. I like Sanders a lot. I do think, though, that he's still a little bit unproven. And it's also a little bit unproven whether or not Peterson is going to give him the volume he needs to be a top five back. I think he's clearly the best back on the team and should be given the opportunity to fail at being a top five back. I just don't know if Peterson will give him that, and so he lands at number 10 for me.
And I agree with you. I have him at 8, so I'm not that far off with you on that.
I have him at 9. Why do you hate Miles Sanders, Dennis? I mean, very clearly.
Yeah, come on. I'm with you. I think it's mostly Peterson for me. I mean, Miles Sanders, you know, I was talking about it all last year. He was my favorite back coming out. A lot of people had Jacobs. I know, Dennis, you had Montgomery. I had Sanders. Everybody else seemed to have Jacobs. Sanders, the biggest worry about him coming out was fumbles. He seemed to do just fine with that last year for the Eagles. It's just the fact that they seem to have like 30 running. They're the running backs of what Washington, is it Washington, does with tight ends. They've got like 30 running backs on their roster. They try to use all of them. So that's what worries me about Sanders. Matt, your thought on Sanders?
Yeah, something similar. I mean, I think he's going to have a good year. You know, I think he's in the RB1 conversation, just may not get quite as much volume as some of the guys that I have ahead of him.
And, Dennis, you've got Eckler here at 9 and Drake at 8. Me and Matt have already talked about both those guys, so give us your quick thoughts on them.
So Austin Eckler caught,
92
passes last season on 108 targets. So I do think there's going to be a little bit of an efficiency drop there. That's a pretty high catch rate at 85%. But I do think also that he could get 120 targets. So he's still likely to – I think he's pretty likely to put up close to 100 receptions. And he only had 130 carries last year. I think that makes sense as a number for him carries wise. So I feel like while he was running back 4 last season, I feel like his efficiency is going to go down just a touch and the volume of the offense is going to go down a touch. But it wouldn't surprise me to see Eckler, Kelly, and Jackson all with over 100 carries this year.
And then, Matt, you've got Aaron Jones there at 8. Me and Dennis have already given our thoughts on Jones. You are the highest here by just a small margin over me. Your thoughts on Jones?
Yeah, I mean, I think his touchdowns come back. Obviously, we all feel like 19 touchdowns is a little bit of an outlier. But they didn't really add much in the terms of weapons. They even lost a few. If you talk about Jimmy Graham going out, we all have kind of maybe some hopes for Sternberger. They still have Lewis. But Aaron Jones was the second receiver on that team in terms of targets last year. And that's even with splitting plenty of time with Jamal Williams. I think even if A.J. Dillon is involved, it's probably at the expense of Williams and not at the expense of Aaron Jones. So touchdowns regress, but you know, it certainly seems like everything that has been said in Green Bay and the way that they drafted indicates they want to be a run-heavy, run-first team. I think there's still going to be opportunities, especially for somebody who's as dynamic of a playmaker as Jones and somebody who has good rapport with Aaron Rodgers in terms of being a receiver. You know, outside of him and Adams, you don't really know who Rodgers trusts, and I think that'll make a difference.
All right, so I've got Derrick Henry here at 9. I was the lowest out of the three of us. I think he's going to have a really good year. Obviously, they're going to rely on him like they did last year. He proved, obviously, all of us – or not all of us, but some of us wrong. I mean, me and Matt were, you know, commiserating about it pretty much every week last year that he kept going off, and we kept thinking, nah, this is the week he's going to suck, and he just kept doing good. But I'm not sure that they run the ball as much as they do. I'm not sure that the team is going to be overall as good as they were last year. Henry, I still think, is going to get a massive workload, but I think he takes a little bit of a step back. And like I said, all these guys here are really close for me. I just kind of like the offenses that the other players are on more for me than I do Henry, so that's why I've dropped him down here to 9. So let's go 7 and 6. So I've got Alvin Kamara here at 7. I'm the lowest on him as well. You guys both have Derrick Henry there at 7, so not much off on me. So your guys' thoughts on Henry?
I just think he's going to continue to get the volume. And I think Tannehill instilled trust in the team. So Vrabel believes in him. You know, they're not going to Cole McDonald anytime soon as the backup there. So it's Tannehill's team. He knows it. They're going to run an offense that's relatively conservative, that's built around the personality of Mike Vrabel, which is, you know, rough and tumble, punch you in the mouth kind of offense. You know, they've got him. You know, they're going to have some challenges with losing Jack Conklin, so they have to see if Dennis Kelly can step up at that right tackle position and if Taylor Lewan can stay healthy on the left side. But they do have some weapons with A.J. Brown and, you know, Corey Davis is still there. He should be due for his Brandon Lloyd breakout year anytime now. I just think Henry's going to – he's going to lead the league in touches this year. Carries anyways, not touches, but carries.
Yeah, that's kind of the same for me. I mean, that seems to be the way they're going. He doesn't really have any – significant competition at his kind of role of running back. You know, pass catching isn't exactly his thing. We think Darrington Evans might get some of the pass catching work. That wouldn't be that big of a surprise. Henry is kind of just going to try to truck you and run you over. He's massive, too. I think he finally found a coach and a scheme that was willing to commit to him, and that's probably part of the reason he thrived last year. I think the Titans, that's a winning formula for them, and they're going to try to run it back again in 2020.
So I've got Alvin Kamara here, shorter. Or
why do you hate Alvin Kamara, Matt? Why do you hate Alvin Kamara?
He's as good as everybody else is. I don't think they're going to rely – not good. I shouldn't say it that way. I don't think he's going to run the ball, it seems like a lot of other people do. He's going to get a lot of receptions out of the backfield, you know, just like Eckler does in Los Angeles. He's going to get the ball here and there, running the ball. I just don't think he's going to be – I don't think he's going to bounce back this huge, massive season that everybody else keeps talking about because of the down year he had last year. It wasn't that bad. He had a decent year. I think he's going to be somewhat close to that. I just don't think Alvin Kamara is built to be a workhorse running back. So, for me, I drop him down to 7. I think the Saints' offense is going to be very good, as it always is. But when you add a guy like Emmanuel Sanders there – I think that, you know, that's just another guy that he can throw too short if he doesn't want to dump it off to Alvin Kamara. So, for me, I'm just not a believer in him having this bounce-back top 3 or 4 season. Like it seems a lot of people are. I could be wrong. I seem to be standing on an island with that one. But I'm just not as sold on Kamara as everybody else is. You two both have Mixon here at 6. So, your guys' thoughts with Mixon in Cincinnati with a new quarterback, some new offensive lineman they get
Price back. Billy Price sucks.
Well, you know, he's still back. Williams, what was it? Was it a knee injury last year? I can't remember what Williams.
I think it was his shoulder, actually, but I could be wrong.
But he had the injury in the preseason last year, kept him out all year, so they get possibly a little bit better offensive line coming into 2020. So your guys' thoughts on Mixon and this running attack?
You know, he's when it comes to running the ball, he's the guy. And he's a good, really good pass catcher. I do think that Gio Bernard is going to play a role, a 25% maybe role. But Burrow brings some excitement to that offense. They've got some proven receiving weapons. Tyler Boyd, I think he's proven to be maybe not a number one, but he's a high, high number two receiver for a team. They get A.J. Green back. They drafted T. Higgins. And at that other receiver position, you've got Auden Tate, who was making some fantastic catches last year, getting open and laying out for the ball. John Ross in his 4.32 speed has a propensity to get into the end zone and started to come on last year as well. So I think since he has some weapons, when you improve the offensive line, most of the team is going into their second season in Zach Taylor's offense now. So for me, I feel like, you know, if Mixon doesn't step up this year, he's not going to step up.
This is the most painful ranking on this entire list. I'd rather not talk about it, but Dennis raises a lot of good points. That is why I landed him at 6.
So for me, I have Nick Chubb here at six. So where I will slightly disagree with what some of the things you guys were saying was, I don't think you can take last year's stats into consideration that much because Freddie Kitchens, while I love him, is kind of an idiot. Did not necessarily have the best play calling down the stretch there. There were times where they were throwing in guys like Dontrell Hilliard. Who else am I forgetting here that was god-awful for the Browns? Let me see if I can pull it up really quick.
Ernest somebody.
Yeah, Ernest Johnson, you know, in key third down plays, second down plays, it was like, oh, yeah, Nick Chubb just carried the ball for like 7 yards with three guys on his back. Let's throw Dontrell Hilliard in there just because for fuck it. I think Chubb is going to get probably close to 300 carries again. I don't think Hunt's going to affect him as much as others do. You know, I keep referencing whenever we've talked about this, what they did in Minnesota. While I understand Kareem Hunt is much better than Alexander Mattison, Mattison did not do much. I was looking at Cook's stats from last year. Obviously, he got hurt in three games, missed a game and got hurt. In eight of his games, he had 20 carries or more. I think Chubb is going to continue with that trend because it's going to be key for Baker because Baker is by far a very good – his best was when he's doing play action. We saw that in year one, saw it in college at Oklahoma, and they need to have a good running game to do that, and I think they're going to rely on Chubb. Dennis, you've touched on it, and I agree with you. Hunt is the better receiver. He's a very explosive weapon, but Chubb is the better runner, and I think they're going to rely on him for that. The other thing I think we could see an uptick in is his touchdowns. When they got down into the red zone last year, it was pathetic. I mean, the Browns could not do anything in the red zone. They kept to do all these trying to do these trick plays and everything instead of just giving Chubb the ball and letting him run it in. So I think he gets a little bit more touchdowns. I'm going to call it now because this is one of the reasons why I have him where I do. I think he is going to lead the league in rushing this year. I think he is going to have a phenomenal year. The only reason I don't have him higher is because of what you guys mentioned, just the lack of receiving work that he is likely going to miss out on due to Kareem Hunt. So I'm all in on Chubb this year. I think he's going to have a great season. Five, I have Joe Mixon. I agree with everything you guys said. I think he's going to be huge. I wouldn't even be surprised. I agree with Dennis. Gio Bernard's probably going to be, you know, 25% of the offense until he gets hurt by week four and out till week 9-10. It's going to be all Mixon. I still like Travion Williams out of Texas A&M. But he is nowhere near the athlete or runner that Joe Mixon is, so I think it's going to be all Mixon. For me, I have Dalvin Cook at four. You guys both have him at five. I think if he stays healthy, he's going to push these top three guys to be in the top three backs. That's why I said for me my top four are kind of like the elite category, and then there's a small separation between five and probably 9 or 10 for me. But Cook, I think obviously he showed it last year. He was healthy almost all season. Great receiving, great running. I don't think he's going to hold out. I think Minnesota, they find a way to make it work, and they either pay him or do something. But I think Cook, if he stays healthy, is in for another phenomenal year. Your guys' thoughts on Mr. Cook in Minnesota?
Well, I think we've seen him be super dynamic. He's a very well-rounded back. They lost one of their top receiving threats, so somebody needs to help fill that void. And I think that's going to come from a combination of Justin Jefferson, Irv Smith, and Dalvin Cook. So with Cook being the dynamic player he is, I mean, at some point you have to say, yeah, the injury potential is there. But I tried not to do my rankings based on whether or not I think somebody is going to get injured much as I could. And Cook has shown us he can play. So I just think Cook is an explosive player in an offense that's going to get him the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I think we saw the value and the fantasy value in what he provided last year. I'm not that worried about him holding out either. I don't think you can kind of hedge like that. We've seen a lot of these situations. I think a lot of people got burned last year, dropping Zeke way down in their rankings and not drafting him, thinking he was going to miss time, and he ends up being back and playing week one. I just like the four guys that I have ahead of him more.
All right, so you guys both have Alvin Kamara here for three spots higher than me. So your guys' thoughts on Kamara with New Orleans?
I think he's a shoe-in for 81 receptions. For me, Kamara is going to he had 170 carries and 81 receptions last year, playing on quote unquote 75% with one leg. So I feel like nothing has really changed about that offense. It's Drew Brees, it's Michael Thomas, it's Alvin Kamara. Then in supporting roles, you've got Jared Cook, Latavius Murray, and wide receiver two, DeJure. So those guys at the top, Brees, Thomas, and Kamara, are going to get their numbers. And so Kamara, I think he actually sets a new career high in receptions. It wouldn't surprise me if he broke 100 passes this year, 100 catches.
Yeah, so your 170 carries and 81 receptions was actually 2018. Last year, he was 158 and 74 in a year where they said he was 75% and he missed three games. So the big difference, too, 2018, he had 18 touchdowns. Last year, he had only produced six touchdowns. I think he yangs back somewhere in the middle. You know, and if he gets a little bit more dynamic running and a little bit more dynamic yards after the catch receiving because he's healthier and because they don't have to, you know, have him on limited touches and he's not missing games, he bounces right back up to where he was before.
Okay. I'm not sure what numbers you're looking at, but Pro Football Reference has him with 171 carries and 81 catches last season.
Game logs off of Fantasy Pros.
Well, that could be through 16 weeks, probably. It
says week 17.
Oh, does it? Well, Pro Football, he's because the oddity with him is he's caught 81 catches all three seasons. People like to talk about that.
Yeah, that is definitely a weird stat. We all have the same top three, which is probably not surprising. I'd imagine most people have it: Christian McCaffrey, Barkley, and Elliott. I guess let's start with Zeke. Any worries about Tony Pollard or anything else with this offense? I mean, I'm not. I think Zeke bounces back. That's kind of the way I think. But, you know, a lot of people were very high on Pollard last year. I think a lot of it was due to Zeke's kind of holdout. He just seemed to definitely come in. Not necessarily in football shape. I think it took him a little bit of time. Obviously, the move to a more pass-friendly offense with Dak and those wide receiver weapons is going to hurt Zeke some. He's not going to get quite the catches we saw him get even just a couple years ago with, I think it was like close to 60 or 70 before Gallup really started to come on. But all in all, with the way he runs the ball, I think Zeke is just he's a dominant running back. And so for me, he's easily there. Three, you guys have anything else you want to add on Zeke?
It wouldn't surprise me if he finished as RB one or two. I mean, I don't have any concerns about Pollard. I do think they're going to try to work Pollard in just because they want to play good players, and Pollard is a good player, but he's not Zeke.
Yeah, I mean, I like Ezekiel Elliott. I also figured out what happened. Apparently Fantasy Pros – does not give Alvin Kamara any credit for what he did in week one of the NFL season where he caught seven passes for 74 yards and had 97 yards rushing. So show him as missing. I was like, well, maybe he did miss the premiere last.
Wow. That is a pretty pedestrian game right there. So makes sense how they didn't count.
But Elliott, you know, I think he's going to be good. I think the thing that probably drops him from the top two for me is Dallas has much better receivers and had a much better kind of passing offense. So they don't need Elliott to be catching the ball out of the backfield. He's still, you know, great as a pounder. They use him around the goal line, but I don't know that he can get quite the same ceiling that somebody like Barkley or McCaffrey can get being, McCaffrey was just as good a receiver as he was a runner last year. That's what put him in a different stratosphere. We've seen Barkley with that ability, and he's on a team where his receivers are good for like one or two healthy games a year. So I think that's kind of what separates him from me.
Dennis, your thoughts on Barkley here with sitting at two for all three of us?
I don't think at this point you can put him over McCaffrey. McCaffrey has shown that he's got what it takes, that he's the one. I feel like McCaffrey could he could potentially repeat as the RB1 for the first time since what, LaDainian Tomlinson?
Yeah.
Way back
yeah.
when. So
start round reversal.
Yep. He's Barkley is an outstanding running back. I kind of disagree with Matt a little bit on the receivers for the Giants. I know Shepard tends to miss games, but Tate was there except for when he was suspended. And I'm big on Darius Slayton. Slayton's my wide receiver one and Scott Fishbowl, so I got to make sure that I've got to be all in. So it's a top three that's a pretty chalky top three. But if we look at it, any one of them could be the RB1. You could put them in any order. There's just a higher probability that it's going to be McCaffrey, and then a higher probability than Zeke that it's going to be Barkley, because the Giants will use Barkley in the receiving game more than the Cowboys will Zeke.
Yeah, I'm with you. I obviously think if he stays healthy, he's going to return back to more of what we saw that his rookie season. But to dethrone McCaffrey is just going to be it's just going to be hard, because I think they're still going to throw to him. If they bring any – I know they're going to bring elements of what they did at LSU, and we saw what Clyde Edwards-Helaire was able to do with them last year. And CMC, I don't think it's unfair to say it's probably 10 times the player that Edwards-Helaire is, and I like Edwards-Helaire. So CMC in that offense is just going to be ridiculous. Matt, your thoughts on Barkley, and then what do you think about Christian McCaffrey?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're both good. I don't think you can go wrong there. They've stayed right up as the top two running backs. You could make a case for either of them being number one, but I tend to agree with you. I think McCaffrey, just the receiving dynamic's probably going to be a little bit stronger and push him a little bit further up. But I think they're both going to be great.
Dennis, anything you want to add on CMC?
Is there, what else can you add? I mean, he's the best running back in football for football reasons and the best running back in football for fantasy reasons. So
let me tell you what I'm excited about. We're getting ready for our work redraft league. And so I rebooted it last night, sent everybody, projections, told them to get ready. I've talked to the ladies that have pick 101 and 102, and it's very possible the first two picks in our draft are Mahomes and Baker Mayfield.
Wow. Can I get in that league? Do you have any open spots? I just want to lose another year.
I tried to be fair and took like all of us that are really good at fantasy and were dropped down at the bottom of the pick order, but I was thinking whoever, I can't remember who's third, but to end up having like the fourth pick and getting Saquon Barkley would be such a gift.
Yeah.
He can't let him listen to this show because we swear too much.
No, you know what? I just shared it on my Facebook page where I also share everything to all the members of the church. So I didn't think about that.
You have to give us an NSFW sticker.
We have it on the podcast.
I think that's why we don't make it on iHeartRadio every time now, because I have to mark it as expensive most of the time. But that'll do it for our running back ranks. We will be back on Monday with who we got left.
The AFC West. We've got the Raiders and the Chargers. Raiders. Yep.
We'll have those. And then next week is up in the air on Thursday's episode. Hopefully most of our Scott Fishbowl drafts will be wrapping up. I know Tony's going to jump on next week. We might do a little bit of Scott Fishbowl talk as I will be heading on vacation the week after that. So I don't necessarily want to start wide receivers yet. If not, we will start wide receivers. Other than that, we will be live on YouTube and Twitch tomorrow, just so we don't mess up the Facebook and Twitter audiences that jump in here. As we're going to record some shows for when I go on vacation, they'll be pre-recorded, which kind of sucks because I believe camps open the week I'm on vacation. So I'm sure we're going to miss out on some breaking news.
Nothing opens before July 28th.
Okay, cool. So then it'll be happening as I'm on my way back. So that'll be helpful. But
your first live show will be right after camp.
Yeah, so that'll be good. So that'll do it for us though today. Everybody have yourselves a good weekend. If you don't decide to drop in tomorrow, we'll talk to you guys again on Monday.
Prepare for glory! I don't know if you got your popcorn ready. Do you got your popcorn ready?
I came out the womb wide already.
And he's hit the end zone for an unbelievable touchdown.
I would be honored if you played football for this team.
Throw it up above his head. They can't jump with me. Golly!
Oh, they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
Who can make a play?